Welcome to this APTA podcast, bringing you coverage of the 2017 NEXT Conference and Exposition in Boston, Massachusetts. During NEXT, we conducted multiple interviews with conference lecturers and association leaders, which we broadcast live via Facebook. You can watch those videos at apta.org/next/news, or you can listen to podcast versions like this one, which are available via iTunes or at apta.org/podcasts.
Hi, I'm Jason Bellamy, coming to you from NEXT 2017 in Boston, Massachusetts. And right now I'm joined by Tony DeLito. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And we're going to talk about the Rothstein Roundtable. So first of all, the namesake behind the Rothstein Roundtable is Jules Rothstein. He's a former Macmillan lecturer. He was editor emeritus of PTJ. And the tagline that they put with this, the Rothstein Roundtable is held every year in honor of Jules, who never met an issue he couldn't argue from both sides. So first of all, Tony, give me a sense of what's the topic you're going to talk about here at this year's Rothstein Roundtable, and who are the other panelists?
So the topic of the conversation is going to be integration of physical therapy and primary care. We know that many patients who have illnesses that eventually should end up in physical therapy start their care in primary care. And I have a large study going on right now looking at people trying to prevent the transition of acute low back pain to chronic low back pain, and it's done in primary care. And I've learned a tremendous amount in this study about the lack of integration of physical therapy in primary care. I think it can be best summed up that primary care physicians really don't know what happens to patients after they send them to physical therapy, I think is the best way of summing it up. So the people on the panel are my co-investigator from Boston Medical Center, Rob Saper, who's a family medicine physician. And he's going to talk about that, talk about what the challenges are. And then the others on the panel are going to be two physical therapists, Jason Benicek. He's down at Brook Rehab in Florida, and Adam Gutt, who is at Duke University, both of whom are physical therapists that have, I think, done a very good job of integrating physical therapy into primary care. And then Jay Ergang is also going to be on the panel. And I think Jay, both from the standpoint of him being with the registry, because we think a registry is one is going to be important in integrating physical therapy into primary care, and also because he's an educator. He's a chair of a program, and what do we need to do with upcoming graduates to make sure that they can better facilitate integration into primary care?
Okay, so the title of this is, does physical therapy need an industrial revolution? And when you hear revolution, you sort of think of one system being overthrown by something else. And on that note, I mean, you described the change that needs to be made, but more specifically, I mean, what for this revolution to happen, what are the steps? How would that, in your mind at least, what would that look like?
So physical therapy, we pride ourselves in our autonomy, and autonomy has been good for us in one sense, in that we don't have people telling us what to do anymore in terms of how to manage our patients. And by telling us what to do, not micromanaging the care, no prescriptions anymore. We're long past that. We manage patients and we know how to manage them within our scope of practice without being told what to do by anyone else. However, autonomy has another connotation in that, and it really is, others don't know what we're doing. And so in a healthcare environment right now that everyone is saying we need to be team players, we need to be better team players, what I'm finding out is we're missing opportunities because we're not identified as the team player, especially in primary care, where so many patients enter the system with their problems, particularly musculoskeletal problems. So I think the revolution, if you will, is moving from waiting for that referral to come to us, or going and trying to solicit referrals and then leaving the area, to trying to get into that environment, into that primary care environment, and show how physical therapy can help them solve the problem of better managing patients with musculoskeletal conditions. And that's the challenge, I think. And to me, that's a revolution, because it really does force us to be much more innovative in how we get to primary care and tell them and get them the message about what we can offer.
So I don't want to put too much stress on the word revolution, but let's stick with it for just a second. You know, for a full revolution, you need lots of people to sort of follow that sea change, right? I think as a result of that, people watching this may sort of want to be taken by the tide, of change. Other people will be the change agents, and then the change will sweep them along with it. Is there a way to be proactive as an individual to help this change happen in your mind?
Yeah, I think there is. I think, first off, we, again, need to shift our focus from waiting for that referral or soliciting the referral to really talking with primary care about, for example, musculoskeletal conditions. Right now, primary care physicians have the finger pointed at them for managing musculoskeletal conditions inefficiently. So they are, you know, the opioid epidemic, with when we look at prescriptions for opioids, many of them start in primary care. When we look at advanced imaging that's ordered too soon or needlessly for people with musculoskeletal conditions, these are the paths that primary care physicians take. And I think they know physical therapy, but they really don't know physical therapy. And I don't think they understand that it's a better path, it's a viable path. And I don't know that they understand the evidence about timing of physical therapy. I think they think of physical therapy as something after drugs haven't worked, after even after a specialty visit.
A last resort.
Yes.
Right.
And then, okay, now we're 3 months into it. There are patients already chronic, by the way. And then the order comes for physical therapy. And we just saw some data from United Healthcare, you know, largest commercial insurer in the country. Less than 2% of patients are sent to with musculoskeletal conditions are sent to physical therapy in an early phase of their care, and that just needs to change.
Yeah. So obviously, and we hear anecdotally these stories all the time, right? Any individual physical therapist could win the heart and mind of somebody else in the healthcare system and basically try to change that flow of patients, right? But beyond that, are there sort of systematic forces in place beyond sort of winning the hearts and minds of individuals in the healthcare system? Are there other things keeping things the way they are that need to be addressed for this revolution to happen?
Yeah, one of the primary areas is the barriers to getting to physical therapy. So it's not just getting the physician, the primary care physician in this case, to recognize physical therapist as a partner, write the referral, but then the convincing of the patient to come to physical therapy given the out-of-pocket expenses right now for a PT, whether it's co-pays or high deductibles. But right now payers are talking. They realize this now. Again, you know, one of the large payers in a forum we had for CoStar earlier today was saying that, you know, be prepared because you are now going to, you have to be careful what you ask for. You're now going to get some of these co-pays are going to be looked at much more closely. We're going to see benefit redesign and co-payments eliminated, not because, well, let me put it this way. It's because it's cost effective. They realize that getting patients to therapy earlier in the episode of care, removing that barrier, saves them money in the long run.
So we're going to have Sharon Dunn here to talk a little bit about how APTA is approaching the centennial in 2021. So let's use that moment, 2021, 4 years away, basically. How much change do you anticipate we could make in that time, and what would it take to get there?
Well, it depends on what we strive for. I think the change right now is for us. We can make as much change as we want. Let me give you a scenario with back pain. We know from data right now, just from the natural history of where patients go, we know that the earlier a patient goes, sees a physical therapist with back trouble, the more money is saved. So one can make the argument, we're doing a great job with these patients. One can also make the argument, these patients are in a holding pattern. You know, we get them early, we keep them for this episode of care. We can't order opioids, so no opioids are ordered. We can't order imaging, for the most part, and so no imaging is ordered. And we, you know, now I think a lot more is happening, don't get me wrong, but one argument for that effectiveness is that we've just put them in this safe haven for a little while, and then natural recovery occurs for a majority of them, and then downstream costs are less, okay? However, if we were to be very proactive about what happens with that patient, so not only are we getting the patient and we're getting them without the copayment barrier, but now we're really assuring that the best care happens in this situation. that just look at choosing wisely. Mm-hmm. We don't underdose older people when we give them exercises. We move away from passive agents and use more active approaches with patients. Just those two things, and we assure that that's happening with that patient at that time period. Now we're putting our best foot forward and taking advantage of that situation, and almost assuredly we're going to see these, the payers are going to see these downstream costs reduced.
You mentioned choosing wisely, and obviously that challenges, whether you're talking about physical therapists or whatever the spectrum is in healthcare, to sort of think differently about things right. They've done. So let's kind of close out with this. For somebody watching this day who hears what you're talking about and believes in what you're talking about, how should they think differently? What should they do to create positive momentum toward this change?
A number of things. First off, review the evidence. It's there. We have practice guidelines now, and the orthopedic section has done a marvelous job of putting out practice guidelines, keeping them updated. Look at them. Look at them much, much more closely. Take a practice guideline and turn it into a process of care that they can do every day. So that that's a big step. It takes more than just looking at it. Now you have moved it into a process that you're going to follow with every patient that comes in. And icing on the cake would be make it part of your electronic health record. So that now you have the documentation that you've done the right things, and you can make sure the person next to you in your setting has done the right thing because it's in the electronic health record. And find out from your colleagues that you're working with what sort of additional training do they need. We had a nice presentation this morning by Paul Rocker, who reviewed, he oversees a large rehab operation at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. And, he's got everything from, the millennials to the baby boomers, the whole spectrum. How do these people learn? How can we get our training to match learning styles so that the person next to you can also deliver this care in the best possible means? So these are things I think that can happen tomorrow. You could do this Monday. You could start on this on Monday.
That's awesome. So for people who are here in Boston, the Rothstein Roundtable is Friday from 3 to 4:30. He's Tony DeLito. I'm Jason Bellamy, and we're going to come right back with APTA President Sharon Dunn.
For more podcasts like this one, go to apta.org/podcasts or search APTA Podcasts on iTunes. Don't forget to mark your calendar for next 2018 in Orlando, Florida, June 27th through 30th.